Welcome to the Hero Cafe Weekend Review. I am Sam Drake.
And I'm Cameron Bowes.
We're here to talk to you about the weekend's releases. We've got the Lego Ninjago movie. We've got Stronger featuring Jake Gyllenhaal. And then we've got Kingsman the Golden Circle. Just a quick rundown for everybody. If you're used to listening to the Hero Cafe normal show, weekly show, our weekend reviews are spoiler-free and bite-sized. And the whole point is trying to give you the information that you need to make your weekend plans. So thanks for spending your time with us. Hope you find it helpful. So, Cameron, you went to go see the Lego Ninjago movie this week. I know you were super excited for that. What do you got for us?
Right. So I drew the short end of the stick here by fate. And I'll tell you, I'm just going to get right to the point here. Do not go see this movie.
Oh, man.
Full disclosure, I love the Lego movie, and I really love Lego Batman movie. I think those two movies are super creative, really fun, really funny, and they both have their own heartbeats to them, if you will. They both have a very clear message, especially by the end of the film. I think they hit on both levels, on both of those movies. But boy, this movie was a chore. I mean, just a chore. The first 5 minutes are easily the best part, and I'll keep that spoiler-free, even though, again, it's the first 5 minutes, so it's like, what could I really say that was, you know, gonna ruin the movie for you? But I'll say that the first 5 minutes are great, just because if you know anything about the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, they do a particular thing in all of those movies. And they do it here as well, and it's great. Outside of that, though, man, this movie sucks. Holy cow.
Oh, man.
It was brutal, dude. Like, I was in a theater with a lot of kids, obviously.
Obviously.
And it's just like, I felt like they weren't laughing. I know I wasn't. I was not laughing. And, dude, it was just like, I've never seen a kids movie try so hard in a long time. Like, it was just like, wow. I mean, you have Jackie Chan in there, and he's always great just because he has kind of like that Jackie Chan charm. But I mean, it was just a voice. I mean, just being the voice work, you know, like, it was just kind of like, I mean, he just lent his voice to a character, and that character isn't even actually in it all that much. Nah. So it was kind of just like, whatever. But boy, yeah, you have, Dave Franco as the main character, who is just, yeah, I it has nothing to do with any of like the voice performances, I would say. It really is just really bad writing. And I sat there at the end of the movie during the credits. And again, they always have these wacky credits at the end of these movies. It's like they have a very particular formula, and it's just so funny that formula has worked twice in a row, but it really does not work here. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that while I was at the credits, I mean, you have three directors for this movie alone. You have, get this, between the writing of the story and the screenplay. And this is not separated and then combining them. This is for each one. There are literally, I counted, 7 people working on the screenplay, yeah, and the story. And I'm just like, why? I don't understand. This is not complicated. Like, let me write one of these things, and I'll just take all of their paychecks and combine it to mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm so confused by that decision, because it just seems like a real waste of money. And to have three directors, you know, you tell me Lord and Miller are the directors for the first Lego movie, and they're just a directing duo, like the Russo brothers, you know, is what I'm saying. So like, you have two directors there. I take that. The Lego Batman movie only had one, Adam McKay, and he's going to do the Nightwing movie for the DC universe. So, I mean, again, there's like credibility with those two guys, right? But it's just like, I have no idea who these three directors were, and I'm not sure that we ever will. And, dude, it's just, yeah, it was brutal. Again, like, it felt like because they had 7 writers, this is how the movie felt. And this is one of my biggest pet peeves ever in this whole movie. Like, every time you think that they're going to start, a character arc, it ends within 2 minutes. And it, so it just felt like within the whole movie, and this happens multiple times. Like, this is not even a joke. Like, so it just felt like each writer was like, hey, you create a story arc, and you create a story arc. And then it's just like, and then they decided, you know what, we just want to use all of those story arcs. And so they just threw it all into one movie. And so it's like almost within each act of the film, there's like two or three story arcs from the same character, mind you. None of the other characters have any building whatsoever. They're not real characters at all. They're just these fun little ninjas that they run around with and have secret powers and that they don't know how to use. And so they're trying to figure it out. And every single character arc is with the main character, but they never actually take any time to like let any of that breathe. And so it just consistently like folds on top of each other. Like, okay, we're done with that one. Here's another one. Oh, we're done with that one. Here's another one. It was terrible.
Oh man.
Dude, it was just like, it was so, man, I was like, I was falling asleep by the end of this movie. And I'm not like, I'm a night person, okay? So like, this is, it's easy for me to stay up. So
right.
And it's still not, I mean, it's pretty early for me. And dude, I was just like, man, this sucks. Like, I should have got some caffeine. I need something. Cuz this movie is not doing it. And it doesn't, man. It was just like they just like throw in random fight scenes that have no weight to it.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, credit where credit's due. Like, you never, being an animated film, being a Lego universe, I mean, you kind of, like, never feel, like, real weight to these fights, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, like, at least the other two, they're fun, and you have something like, the Lego Batman movie starts off so perfectly because there's like this really bombastic, huge fight, right?
Right.
But he's singing his own theme song through it. Yeah. So they find really innovative ways to make these fight scenes, while for pointless in their own design, just so fun to watch.
Right.
These ones, dude, were just like, they have like, these ninjas have these mechs at the beginning. And here's, I mean, another problem with the film is like, it really feels like as characters, they start off 100% of the top of the world.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it feels like that almost through the whole thing. Like, there's no, I'm just like, I don't understand.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even when they take the mechs away, spoiler alert, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's classic, like, Power Rangers superhero stuff. Like, they, they take something away. But then within, like, I mean, it doesn't even seem like that long. It feels like they have another thing that helps them along, you know? And, anyways, this character, the main character's name is Lloyd. His biggest thing is that his dad is the supervillain of this universe. And so he's like, he's this ninja, a part of this ninja team that is always fighting he's always fighting his father, but he's never told him that he's his father. And so there's like the big emotional story arc is supposed to be about father and son. Kind of like how Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is, and they actually use the same song from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 at one point, just as like a theme. Anyways, and dude, it falls so flat. One, because the one complaint I have about the voice acting is whoever voiced the dad and the villain, it just felt like a knockoff Will Ferrell from the first one. And I don't necessarily think it's, like, the voice actor's fault. I just really think it was the direction that he was supposed to take that character. But, dude, yeah, it was just like, man, this is not working. Anyways, I really have nothing else to say about this movie. Like, there's just so many bad things that I could literally talk about all the bad things probably for a long time. But, again, I don't think it's worth any discussion, I guess, is like it's so subpar compared to the other two movies that, and I kind of just felt that way. Like, I didn't have any real excitement going into this movie. Like, I mean, you kind of pointed that out at the beginning, like nothing at all has even led me to believe this movie was going to be good, whether it was the choices in voice acting or trailers or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, Jackie Chan, they got Jackie Chan back out in the spotlight a little bit, but I mean, he's got that new action movie coming out later this year, and I think he was going to be in the spotlight either way. So
right.
I was just like, I'm sorry I had to do it for this first. But anyways, yeah. no, don't go see this movie.
Hard pass.
I am excited to see what you have to say about Stronger, though, because I'm super jealous that that didn't come near me at all. So I'm going to toss it over to you because I want to see what this movie's about.
So Stronger, really, the premise of Stronger is that it follows this guy whose name I've already forgotten. It's like Matt or something like that. It follows this guy who was at the Boston bombing and lost the use of his legs because he was standing right next to the bomb when it went off. And it follows his recovery and his coping with notoriety and just being okay, right? And sure. this is kind of, that's the premise. I know my mother-in-law is going to listen to this, and so I can't really say anything too descriptive about my audience that I shared the theater with, but I was definitely the youngest by about 50 years, and it skewed heavily female. Part of that's going to a 12 o'clock matinee, but I've gone to a lot of matinees with no attendance, and this one had a lot of attendance by gal pals of age. So it's definitely, especially with the promotion, it's got kind of a Lifetime movie feel to it. And I think that's exactly why. But my biggest beef with this movie, we were both pretty excited about this movie because it's gotten a lot of positive critical attention.
Sure.
It's done well on the festival circuit. And honestly, there's a lot of moments in this movie that are really touching and really moving. But it really kind of feels like two different movies. And you know, I'm just going to go ahead and blame the the studio for that. And I'll tell you what I mean. So the big part of the Boston bombing at the Boston Marathon is that it was really the first terrorist attack on U.S. soil in a really, really, really long time. And it brought up a lot of, you know, any American who's listening is going to understand what I'm saying. You know, it brought up a lot of those patriotic feelings that we had following 9/11 in 2001. And right. So there's a real temptation with this movie to really make it a rah-rah America's awesome kind of movie. And then there's this other side of this movie, which is where Gyllenhaal's performance really shines through, is this, it's really kind of also a story about a person who's become a symbol, but who's also having to cope with trauma and not really given the space to do so. You know, they keep getting asked to show up to throw in baseballs at games, right? And they're, you know, they keep getting people stop them on the street and talk about how inspiring they are, right? And so it'd be one thing if it were one or the other, right? I could kind of understand one or the other. It really tends to be a story about recovery, except for like really specific scripting decisions where they make, like, they'll have a guy who stops him on the street and talks about how, you know, you're showing them that they can't win, that they can't keep us down, right? Which is, it's a powerful message, but it's also not the point of the movie. And so there's a lot of reasons for this. I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that the original screenplayer, the original director, just wanted to do a movie about a double amputee and it wasn't attached to this, and somebody saw it and they're like, hey, we could base it off this character, right? And part of what makes it hard to really get behind the idea that it was one creative vision behind this movie is that we had like really significant product placement for both Costco and Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts is a local Boston chain. Well, it's a national chain, but it's based in Boston, started in Boston. And it's a big freaking deal in Boston. And so anytime anyone's drinking coffee, it's out of a Dunkin' Donuts coffee mug or a Dunkin' Donuts cup, right?
Right.
And like, it makes it pretty clear part of the, I don't feel bad for this because it's like the first 10 minutes, 20 minutes of the movie. The character in question works at Costco, and like his boss shows up to the hospital like right after he gets out of surgery, basically like telling the family, you know, we're not going to have to rehire him because we're never letting him go. This is all of his insurance stuff. He'll be totally fine. And whenever he's ready to come back to work, we're ready to have him. Right. So it's definitely like, man, thank God for those Costco insurance benefits. Right. And like people I know that work at Costco, they do have kick-ass benefits. Right. But it was also like, they made it a major plot point which was just a little tone deaf for me. So.
For sure. Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see Patriots Day last year?
No.
Okay.
I avoided it.
Really? Because I love that movie.
Yeah.
Patriots Day is really good. And I don't know how to, I guess for me, because the first thing I seen about this movie, I was just like, well, okay. It kind of feels reactionary to that movie because that movie did great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small budget film that basically had to pay a couple big actors to be in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it was one of those. It's not like, again, obviously it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't like an Oscar type film. It was, like, you know, it wasn't Oscar bait, as what they would say.
Yeah.
It was just a really good, like, feel good movie. Mm-hmm. Something that kind of just makes you, like, believe in humanity again.
Right.
And it's expertly directed by Peter Berg, who's. Okay. Done really great stuff like Lone Survivor and stuff like that, right? So
mm-hmm.
He also did he did two movies last year. He did Deepwater Horizon 2, which was great. So anyways, I wanted to see if you'd seen that, just to see if the comparisons were there, because while what I thought that Patriots Day did so well was tell the story it was trying to tell, but also have those undertones of like, these are the real heroes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I mean, it was kind of like an America, you know, rah-rah moment.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it had real subtlety to it when mm-hmm. it was doing it. You know, it really just kind of like, it knew when to do it versus, it kind of sounds like here, like there's almost like a tonal shift whenever they try to throw something like that in.
For real.
So it just makes me wonder if you'd seen that. But
mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
at the going out of the theater.
Yeah.
How did you, what did the movie leave as an impression on you? Did it leave as like, well, that was, you know. Do you feel good about, you know, the whole thing? Or is it something that they kind of like, wow, that was kind of, you know, down into the dumps? You know, maybe suicidal by the end of this movie. I don't know.
Actually, I mean, okay, so, like, I really liked it, but it was still the sort of thing where, like, anytime I, you know, I'm going to go ahead and recommend it. I recommend it as a matinee to anybody who enjoys feel-good movies, Lifetime movies, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If you're really into a genuine attempt at an emotional kind of exploration of what it's like to need to grieve but not be able to grieve, right? This is actually, they do it pretty darn well. To me, the image that came to me was having a really, really, really great car, but it's got like bumper stickers for the local car lot on it, right? And it's like, so much of this car is great, but it's also got this plastered on message that just sort of, if you kind of squint and you know when to not look, you can completely avoid it. So to me, the best part of this movie is this exploration of trauma. And honestly, that's why Jake Gyllenhaal is like, he's a fantastic actor and he's the reason why this movie works.
Yeah.
And so to me, that, you know, go into it with that, but also go into it understanding that, like, you can't actually make a movie about the Boston bombing without being patriotic, right? And mm-hmm. It's not subtle, so you'll know it when it shows up. Trust me.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, that's pretty much what everybody was really saying after it made its festival debut, was that whether, you know, no matter what you feel about, like, the actual movie itself, once again, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, he's just truly one of the best out there and one of the more genuine guys out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sounds like he delivers once again, just like a really solid performance. So, and a lot of people had good things to say about the actress that plays his wife too. That's Tatiana Maslany. And mm-hmm. she's really popular for Orphan Black. And I believe she just won the Emmy for the first time in the entire series run. So mm-hmm. I'll have to wait. Hopefully that comes near me then, because I really do want to check that out, because I like America. So
I love America too. That's part of what made this next movie so much fun.
True. True. Well, let's use that as a jumping point here. We both got to go see Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. First off, before we get started, give me your quick impressions of how you felt about the first movie.
Okay, so whenever I use the word brainless, I don't mean idiotic. I just mean does not require interpretation. Mm-hmm. There's plenty in cinema that requires a little bit of engage your brain to really appreciate it. Kingsman, for me, was a fantastic, brainless action movie that knew what it was, and it did it well.
Okay. I love Kingsman. The first one. It was a social commentary on the state of spy movies as of today.
Yeah.
Really James Bond, because they're the creator of the comic, Mark Millar, and Matthew Vaughn, the director. They both live over in Europe, and Matthew Vaughn specifically is British, so he had a lot to say about how, you know, basically after Jason Bourne became popular here in America, 007 did the natural thing, and just dark and gritty and everything started being more and more popular, whether it was Batman or 007 or James Bond. Like, they went in that route, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took away the gadgets. No longer was gadgets even a really big thing, right?
Yeah.
So Kingsman was like a statement. And how, again, is like not even that close to the comic book adaptation, hardly at all, right?
Yeah.
He just kind of took the premise and ran with it for his own sake. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to create a fun spy movie, right? And then, and it just had, like, again, that movie introduced Sofia Boutella, who's becoming quite the star nowadays. Samuel L. Jackson was a great villain. I thought he was so funny.
Yeah.
He kind of threw in his own thing there with the lisp and everything like that. Like, that wasn't scripted.
Hmm.
And then it introduced Taron Egerton as Eggsy,
mm-hmm.
who, that kid is really awesome. And the fact that he hasn't, like, completely blown up even after that movie is like a total shock to me. So, and then of course MVP is Colin Firth. Cause nobody thought that dude was an action star. And then you watch that movie and you're like, well, we were wrong. I have like an unabashed love for that movie. So getting into the second movie, right? Like, it kind of like set this bar of like, oh wow, this was actually like really surprising. Right. Cause it's not like you go into a movie like that and having really nothing to, you know, no basis for what it's gonna be, so you don't have like super high expectations. You could be excited for it if you've seen trailers and stuff like that, right? But it basically totally surpassed so many people's expectations. It became actually a really successful hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I believe it was released early in the year when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just had like a lot like legs, right? Like, it kind of made a lot of money at the box office, had a decent box office run, so it had a huge return. So a sequel was coming. We knew this. Matthew Vaughn's never returned for a sequel ever, and so they got him, locked him in for the sequel, and so that was exciting for me, just to see what he would do with the sequel, just because he did Kick-Ass, but he handed the reins to somebody else for the sequel. He didn't want anything. He was a producer, but as we know here on the show, that means nothing, so he was just getting credit for doing the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back. Directs this one. Just kind of a quick premise about the movie. Eggsy is now full on part of the Kingsman. His obviously the first movie was him joining the Kingsman. He is part of the Kingsman now. He is Galahad, who was Colin Firth's original handle. He obviously died in the first one, but the big, you know, one of the big shocking surprises, right, that they reveal in the trailer is that Colin Firth is not dead. He is alive. He wears an eye patch. So there was that question going into this movie of, like, how he was brought back, right? That was kind of the one thing that they didn't reveal. And anyways, they, you know, the Kingsman goes down, right? This new villain takes out all the Kingsmen. All that's left is, you know, Eggsy and Merlin, mm-hmm. and they have to go find the statesman to take down the bad guys, right? I mean, that's the simplified version of all this, right? So I'm going to toss it to you first, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
After watching Kingsman and then going into this movie, and what we got is what we got. How do you feel about the sequel to Kingsman? So Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
I enjoyed it a lot. Kind of for me. Like, the Kingsman movies have never been really deep with what they're trying to say socially, right? There's a, you know, they wear it right on their sleeves. For me, it hasn't typically landed. It always comes to me as the sort of thing where they're just using current events as set dressing, which is totally fine, right?
Sure.
But it never really, like, there's a part of me that really hopes that they're not trying to say anything serious with these movies, because I don't think if they were, it would be successful. So, mm-hmm. So with that in mind, right, you know, this next Kingsman movie, it fits right in where I have the previous one in my brain for me, which is, doesn't require a whole lot of interpretation, lots of fun action stuff. It's got peril, it's got adventure, it's got, sacrifice, yeah. right? You know, and I think if you've got that sort of expectation, you're going to really enjoy it. But it's also, I see people with higher expectations with that, which I think is kind of why we got a negative critical response compared to the first one. Just across the board, it seems like it hasn't landed for a lot of people, and I don't think that that's fair. I think they're very similar movies. Yeah. I think if I've got one gripe, I think they kind of overdid their signature action style a bit. It lost its impact by the end. Yeah. But I mean, if you're gonna be a an action movie, you know, if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly, I can understand why they would want to lean hard into that.
Yeah, the fight scene seems very reactionary to the pretty much like, because the critical response to the church scene in the first movie, which was the only scene that took it up to that level, right?
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much walked out of that movie and was like, holy crap, like that scene was freaking awesome, right?
Right.
And it was. And again, that was Colin Firth and a lot of choreography and stuff like that. And so then they were like, okay, well, look at that. You know, like we did a great job there. We're going to do it again, but we're going to do it 100 times, you know? And so I agree, like that style of the way they shot the church scene is in every single fight scene of this movie. And it's not bad. Like it doesn't ever make the fight scenes bad, but it just, it does kind of just like, it's that diminishing returns. And so you're just like, okay, it doesn't feel different through any of the scenes. Like it's different set dressing, but there's, you know, almost nothing new every time they do a fight.
Yeah.
So they introduce new elements, which still make it fun, especially the third act fight. I did enjoy the third act fight a lot more than pretty much any other fight.
Yeah.
So they did do that, right? So I get, but for me, I really like this. Like, I like this movie way more than apparently a lot of other people did. Because, again, like you said, like the critical reception of this movie has not been great. I believe as of right now, it's almost going to be rotten, I think.
Man.
After all the reviews have flooded in. It was a lot higher before, but I think more and more reviews streamed in. I could be totally wrong on that, but it just feels that way at least.
Yeah.
Even though I'm pretty sure the Rotten Tomatoes score was at 50 when I checked it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be rotten basically. I agree with you. Like I feel like that's way too harsh. And then once again, like we should say that that's not how Rotten Tomatoes works. It's just, it's, you know, it's factoring in which reviewers thought it was rotten versus which didn't. So there are a large percentage, you know, especially if it was at 50 when I checked earlier, that means half the critics still thought it was fresh, half the critics didn't, right? So not trying to make ourselves look dumb here by not understanding what Rotten Tomatoes is, we understand. I just feel like I disagree with at least half the critics, right? Of like, I feel like this movie is worth seeing. I feel like, is it as good as the first movie? I think it's very clearly not. But at the same time, like, I had a lot of fun with this movie. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes, so automatically there for me is a problem. So there is, it's just a little bit too long. Like, they could have cut out some stuff because a movie like this just doesn't need to be that long. But either way, like, they have some really great, I just found myself laughing a lot. And that's what I love about Matthew Vaughn is he very much understands the humor and everything like that. And we were kind of talking about that in our weekly show about what that would mean if he went to Man of Steel, right? Because he's very much like that as a director. But for this movie, though, that works because they've set that tone. It was so funny. Like, there was so many funny lines and a lot of the character moments and stuff like that. What I liked about most about this movie, though, was while I was not 100% satisfied with the explanation of how Harry's alive, Colin Firth's character, just because I had a better theory in my head, which is always problem number one, is when I want it to go one way and I'm convinced that it's going to go that way and then it goes a different way, then I'm never completely satisfied because I like my way better. But taking into effect that, like, you know, like what we have is what we have, so I'll give it a pass for the fact that while his resurrection to me, once again, it seemed a little, I wasn't satisfied with it, but once he was back, even before he was back, I felt his presence missing, because the movie made a point to do that. You truly felt the connection that Eggsy had with him in the first movie, which you felt in that movie, and it does carry on to this one. And so there's like these couple moments where he remembers him and everything like that. And it really kind of grounded the movie for me.
Yeah.
Just because the first movie was a little bit more balanced in the form of being grounded and funny at the same time. This movie kind of like amps it up of like it's going to be humorous through the majority of it and not have as many like grounded moments, mostly because they take up the fighting to another level. So mm-hmm. It's just like consistently throwing fight scenes at you. But I thought that the moments that grounded the movie the best were those moments of like Eggsy and Harry, and even Merlin. Merlin did a good job of doing it too, because Mark Strong is just one of the best. So right. I thought those three characters that stood out to me the most in the first movie still transfer over here really well. And then once, of course, Harry is back and all the interactions they have together, those are all solid as well. And there's actually mm-hmm. some good character development, continuing the story from where they left off, emotion there. So I really enjoyed that. That's like a big positive for me. I would say probably my biggest complaint, and it just because it rubs me the wrong way, and I said this actually going into the movie because I was describing Mother to the people I went to the movie with. I was like, I don't care what kind of movie it is, I don't like getting hit over the head with a message, whether it's a cheesy Christian movie or whether it's a big studio movie on the opposite side of that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like getting hit over the head with the message. And funny enough, this movie does that because of the villain's motivations.
Right.
Like, if there was very clearly a political statement within there, and if mm-hmm. they would have left it one time at the explanation of it from her, I'd have been like, okay, you know, like, that's cool. But instead, like, it kept continuously almost every time the villain came on screen after mm-hmm. the second half, like from the second half forward, it was almost like a political statement from that point forward.
Yeah.
And it just like, again, it just rubs me the wrong way. And I'm just like, well, your character isn't going anywhere because you keep saying the same thing. So that was my biggest issue. Ended up being pretty much the villain motivations and stuff like that. Like, the premise of what she was doing was ridiculous anyways, but so was Samuel L. Jackson's. So I was, you know, like, again, like, that transfers to this movie and I was willing to forgive it. But this time it felt like something that was just like nails on a chalkboard to me after
right.
a while.
Right.
So that was, yeah, that was my biggest thing. But otherwise, I I'm not hating on this movie because I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. Again, like, there are those problems that if they get a sequel, which I'm not sure they will, but if they were to get another sequel, like, I hope they would dial it back a little bit and, you know, try to find that balance again like the first movie had. But otherwise, again, like, I thought it was really funny. Your lead characters were all great. And they introduced the Statesman. Haven't really talked about that either. The Statesman, I thought, were all really great. Pedro Pascal from Narcos, he's a big part of this movie. I thought he did a great job. Halle Berry's not in a lot much, but I thought she was pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Channing Tatum and Jeff Bridges. They're in the movie the least, but when they are on the screen, once again, like, they're great too. So mm-hmm. again, like, it's like solid performances, I think, pretty much all around. It's really just in like those little nitpicky stuff that kind of like bring it down a notch from the first one to me. But otherwise, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at the theater. So anyways, what about you?
I'm right there with you, man. I had a lot of fun here. I mean, I think we can both appreciate the irony of a what is essentially a review show criticizing Critical Response, because that's kind of who we are right now.
Yeah, I know.
And which is weird to think about. Anyways, the critics at large, the people who make money off of this stuff, they tend to have a real hard time with action. They tend to have a real hard time with like kind of brainless action that's just supposed to be fun. So it makes total sense to me that people who, you know, maybe expected more out of this movie than just being fun to watch didn't like it. But I think if you're looking for just a real nice way to spend an evening, it's an easy recommendation for me. If you've watched the first Kingsman movie and that one didn't, you know, part of the series is that it is irreverent. It is, yeah, sure, we're just going to mention that and then completely ignore the fact that most people can't talk about that, right? We're just going to go nuts and we're going to have fun. If you watch the first Kingsman movie and it didn't put you off, then nothing in this movie is really going to either. But, you know, again, for the people like my like my mother-in-law, shout out Carol, maybe watch the first one before putting money down on this one.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're not in it for the first one, I guarantee you're not gonna be in it for this one.
Right.
Because the only changes that they make from the first one to this one is more.
Right.
The secret ingredient is more. So yeah, if you're turned off from the first one, then the second one's definitely not gonna be for you. That's for sure.
Uh huh.
Because I mean, the first one, so. I mean, just kind of going into, like, the first one had this, like, controversial ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost more known for the controversial ending than anything else. I remember because we were in Chi Alpha. It was, I think, my mm-hmm. last year in Chi Alpha when this movie came out. So, 2014, which is a Christian college living group for our listeners. And... I have no moral obligations when it comes to movies, so I go see everything.
Mm, yeah.
And so I remember the Chi Alpha leaders, they were like, hey, like, was that movie any good? And I loved it, right? Me, yeah. My friend, all of our friends, we were like, yeah, dude, that movie was so great. And like, I just didn't even think about it. And I just remember that the leaders of this Christian group go and see this movie, right? And I remember asking them, and they came back, and I like the one of the first things they talked about was the ending, right? And this joke that felt so out of place. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, okay. and they were kind of like down on the movie because of it. I was like, huh, yep. Okay. I was like, whatever. Well, not for everybody, I guess. But I thought it was hysterical. And so it's so funny because this movie kind of like has a couple callbacks to that. Kind of making fun of itself while also being like, yeah, we don't care. And they do something else that's super controversial. So I love that about it. You know, like the fact that it's also, once again, like self-aware. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I had a lot of fun with it. Again, it's not a perfect movie. It has one of the best celebrity cameos probably ever. And it's like a running joke in the film. And so, I don't know. I thought it was great. But so, yeah, anyways, that's a recommendation from me. Recommendation from you. So we have an official Hero Cafe stamp of approval on that movie. So I don't know, any other things you want to say about the movie, or do you think that pretty well sums it up there?
No, I'm pretty square.
I'm square too. So that's gonna about wrap it up for us here on our Kingsman: The Golden Circle, Stronger, and the Lego Ninjago review. We appreciate you listening to us here on the Weekend Review Show. If you like it, please, subscribe to our podcast, give us a rate and review. But we're going to leave you with a little tease, of course, for next week, because we are going to be returning. We're going to be trying to do this every weekend, reviewing our latest releases in theaters. So, Sam, what do we have on the schedule for next week?
All right, so next week on the Weekend Review Show, we've got, it looks like, American Made with Tom Cruise and Flatliners, which is a remake of a 90s show.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's going to be great. So we'll just go ahead and tease it right now. Don't see Flatliners and go see American Made. Just kidding. We will wait to review these movies until we see them. No judgments here. Except that Flatliners is going to suck. I'm ready, though. I'm ready to destroy that movie. So, anyways, that'll about do it from us here at the Hero Cafe Weekend Review Show. Until next time, my name's Cameron.
And I'm Sam.
And we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Deuces.